Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. Good morning. The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Thanks for being here with us for our service this morning. We are certainly most favored by our Lord and our God, who pours out his blessings on us through his gifts and the forgiveness of sins, through his word and his sacrament. But the Lord also does something else for us that maybe we don't think about quite as much, and that is he makes us confident, which we'll hear about this morning from our readings, the confidence that we receive from our faith, which truly does impact our lives in many ways. So blessed to be together this morning and hear about the gifts that our Lord provides. If you're joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning into our service. Wish you the Lord's blessings as well. Gathered together in the sanctuary this morning, we begin our service with our opening hymn. That's hymn number 873, Christ, Whose Glory Fills the Skies. And we do invite you to stand on the last verse of that hymn this morning as we sing. Let's sing together.
Thank you.
begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
We confess our sins. God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins as a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. We continue with our introit from Psalm 48 and Mark 13. The one who endures to the end will be saved. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments. Walk about Zion, go around her, number her towers, consider well her ramparts, go through her citadels, that you may tell the next generation that this is God, our God, forever and ever. He will guide us forever.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The one who endures to the end will be saved. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, by your bountiful goodness, release us from the bonds of our sin, which by reason of our weakness we have brought upon ourselves, that we may stand firm until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. You can tell we're getting towards the end of our church year in our church calendar because our readings this morning have a lot to do with apocalyptic things. The end of all things, the beginning of all things new for those of faith. And this morning our Old Testament reading comes from the book of the prophet Daniel in the 12th chapter. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson this morning is from Hebrews chapter 10. Also in Hebrews 10 is our text this morning for this sermon. We begin in verse 11. Every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law on their hearts and write them on their minds." And then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to stand now, if you're able, for our Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?" And Jesus said to them, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pains. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against their parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing our hymn of the day for this morning? That's hymn number 508. The day is surely drawing near. Let's sing.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord, and from our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. You know, for me, growing up on the farm was a little bit of a different experience than growing up in the city, I think. Could get away with stuff on the farm, which you could never probably get away with in town. One of those things for me was riding in the front seat of my grandfather's old farm pickup truck. If you need a mental picture in your mind, it was like an 85 GMC. It was red in color. And I'd sit in the front seat with him as he'd drive down one of the farm roads or the county roads out there on the farm. And he'd get that truck going down the road, and we'd be sitting there, and I'd be just a tyke, you know, thinking my thoughts. And all of a sudden, he'd slam on the brakes. And I'd go into the dash, you know, both hands hold on to the dash like this, and look over at him. And he'd say, "Almost hit that bug there in the road. Did you see that bug?" "Grandpa, oh, we don't want to hit the bug," he'd say. And we'd start going down the road again. And about the time my mind had switched, because I was, I'm sure, quite transparent as a child, then he'd do it again. "Oh, there's a bug in the road there," he'd say. "A bug. Don't want to squish that. Don't want to squish it." Our text from Hebrews this morning, chapter 10. Let's take a little ride through this text. And the text is a lot like me as a tyke in the front seat of that truck, because as we read, there's some stuff we definitely have to hit the brakes for. Something we don't want to squish. Feel free to go along for the ride. Follow along in your bulletin or in your Bible. Hebrews chapter 10, we pick it up in the 19th verse of our reading that says this amazing, amazing thing. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus." I want to think about it for just a second, so I'm going to say it one more time. Since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. Just hit the brakes right at the beginning. We don't want to squish that. He said this, since we have confidence. Notice he didn't say, since we could have confidence. He said, since we have confidence. Since we already have it. Now, confidence is a strange sort of concept, a word that's been literally hijacked in our thinking today. In the modern understanding of the word, anyways. I think it's the way that most of us think about the word confidence is sort of by a hijacked meaning. See, the word confidence that we say is actually almost a complete transliteration from the Latin. In the Latin, the word is confidentia, but the word is a compound word, and it's built with a prefix, which is a preposition. And you can see it at the beginning of the word. It's the three letters C-O-N. That's a prepositional prefix, and that word means with. But if you look at the rest of the word, fidence, that's the root of the word, which is actually a word that we know in the Lutheran church pretty well, because we'll say sola fides, and that means only faith. So the word confidence actually means with faith. With faith. But today, like I said, the meaning's been hijacked. We understand confidence now in the popular or modern sense as something that comes from where? From us. That's not what the word means at all, actually. In fact, we'll throw our own prefix on it and say self-confidence, where we look for what we need in any given situation. I don't know what situation you're facing today. But in that situation where we start doing what? Thinking that our confidence comes from us. Huge mistake. Difficult for us to work through, actually. When we start digging around inside ourselves and our sinful nature, our heart, our own heart, and looking for something that, friends, apart from God's word and his grace and his gifts, is not there. What do we find when we dig around for confidence in our lives and in our own selves? But often, tell me I'm wrong, we find anxiety. That's what we find. We pick up anxiousness, we pick up fear, and we pick up worry when we start digging around in there, don't we? Not confidence, really, but almost the lack of confidence. See, confidence and faith are one and the same in this sense. They both find their substance or their reality, their strength even. They find it not in us, in this case you and me, but precisely confidence and faith find their substance or their strength or their essence, if you want to say it, in their object. That's where it actually exists. In their object. As the psalmist will tell us, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Ever been in one of those moments? I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Always pointing us, always moving us towards the object. When it gets weird, we start digging in here, and we find those things that don't help us at all. But the Lord, he's faithful, just like our reading said, to lead us outside of ourselves and to Christ himself. So we got to hit the brakes because we don't want to squish that as we read. Jesus is our confidence. Jesus is your confidence. It's not you. It's not me. And anything that we're able to do that we might call self-confident is actually the result of a gift from the object itself, from Christ. He's made us able to do the things that we do. That we get it discombobulated. The word gets hijacked in our thinking and in our culture. I'll give you one more analogy, right? If I got to walk across a bridge, and in my life I've walked across some rickety old bridges, the ones you kind of look at and go, you know, like when you're at camp or you're in the mountains, you're on a hike, kind of look at the bridge and go, I don't know if I want to walk across that or not. If you're going to walk across this bridge, you wonder, will it hold me up? Can I have confidence in the bridge? Confidence really isn't whether or not I can walk across it. The confidence is in the thing itself, right? So if the bridge holds, then my confidence was right. But if it falls apart, then my confidence in walking across it was false. It depends the trustworthiness, the faithfulness, the reality that would give you or I confidence in anything actually exists not in us but in the object itself. Our Lord is faithful. Were you doubting it? He's faithful. He's strong. He will hold. That's what the text says. And this is how the scripture can say to us what it said, what we hit the brakes for. Brothers and sisters, we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. Jesus will hold. He died on the cross. He rose from the grave. But we so often in our relationship with God are looking for that confidence within ourselves. And we wonder, like, do I have enough faith? Do I do the right things? Do I go read my Bible? Do I pray enough? Do I go to church enough? Am I okay? We know that in ourselves we don't always choose the right thing. Sometimes we choose the wrong thing, and we even do it on purpose. So that leaves us wondering, where am I at with God? You know, how do you really feel about me? The meaning of that word has been hijacked by a selfish and sick generation. So today, hit the brakes on that kind of thinking. We can stop wondering and understand the word correctly. We have confidence. We can be confident because our confidence, our faith isn't from us. And any, and I mean any, of our performances. It's not how it works. It's not from that. It's not what we try to accomplish that makes us okay. It depends on the object, which is, in this case, Christ himself. Was he good enough? That's the only question we could ask. And the answer is a glowing and astounding, he sure was. Perfect, in fact. And in his perfection was willing to die on his cross for you and for me. Why? So that the writer of Hebrews could write this and say, we have confidence already because of Christ himself. We have this confidence. So we keep driving a little bit down the road. Text goes on. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. We gotta stop right away again. What's going on? Did you hear what he said? He said, we have confidence. We talked about that. But then to enter the holy places. To enter the holy places. Holy places? In the plural? What's going on here? See, in Israel, in Jerusalem, there was a holy place. It was called the temple, right? People went there. But other than the temple and that reality, there's no other holy places. They built things in other places where they shouldn't have built them. The holy places. In that temple was the Holy of Holies. You remember that from your Old Testament, maybe Sunday school or something? You learned about the Holy of Holies. There was the big curtain that separated it, right? Separated it off. Hebrews told us this morning, we have confidence to enter past the curtain by the blood of Jesus into the holy places. But what does he mean by that? Well, the Holy of Holies in the temple. Do you know only the high priest in Israel could go in there? And only once a year on the Day of Atonement could walk in there? And you know, it was so dangerous for the high priest to walk into the Holy of Holies that they tied a rope around him so they could drag him out if he didn't survive it. They tied bells on his garments so they could hear him walking around to make sure he was still alive. The holiness of God in that place had been known to kill people. Within that holy place, while the priest was in there, do you know what he did? He put blood on the altar. And in that holy place in the temple was also the bread. You think that was a coincidence? No, it wasn't. It was all moving towards something. It was all pointing towards something. It was all giving us confidence in something. Just like that true confidence that we have, this reality and thousands of other realities in the Old Testament pointed towards its object. Which was Christ. And what's on the altar here this morning? Not by coincidence. Same things. The blood of the spotless Lamb of God. The bread of his body. That's what the writer of Hebrews was trying to tell us, something worth hitting the brakes for in our busy lives. Let us not neglect the gathering together of faith as some are in the habit of doing. It's worth hitting the brakes for when the body and blood of our Lord God forever and ever and ever and ever are on the altar. Turning into the parking lot, right? We have confidence to enter the holy places, but what's the holy places now that that temple in Jerusalem and that holy of holies is destroyed? It's no longer there. What are these holy places that the writer of Hebrews is referring to? Brothers and sisters, this is the marvelous thing that our Lord God has done. He said it in Jeremiah. He prophesied it in the 31st chapter of Jeremiah. He said, "No longer shall a man say to his neighbor, 'Know the Lord,' for all shall know me." And what he's saying is that, guess what? It's not going to be one holy place where he's going to dwell, but he's coming to every town. The holy places that we can enter into, that we can receive from, they're here. Because the very body and blood of our Lord is right there, according to his word and promise. The Holy of Holies in every town. And you know what? A lot of times we would just drive by and not be there for that. How will we be saved, the writer of Hebrews says later, if we would neglect such a wonderful gift? It's something worth hitting the brakes for in our busy lives. And we have confidence to enter into the holy places. He loved us so much. He loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And he brought the true holy places to us. In Alamosa, Colorado, and in any other dot on the map. In churches everywhere. And the whole altar is built like that. Right? You see the altar rails where we come up to for communion? That's where the curtain would be. But now notice, the curtain's not there. It's been torn. It's gone. It's taken out of the way. Remember at the cross of Jesus, what happens when he dies? But the curtain in the temple is rent in two. It's torn. It's moved out of the way. The bread and the wine, according to Jesus' words, is the true body and blood of our Lord. The object of your faith, the object of my faith, the Holy of Holies. There's thousands of these places spread all throughout our world. That's why the writer of Hebrews says what we hit the brakes for originally, not the holy place, but the holy places. Wherever believers are gathered around the word and the sacrament, there Jesus says, "I am in the midst of them." It's incredible. The faithfulness that our reading talked about, how he is faithful. Oh boy. This is going on all the time around us. And he's the one who told us, right? He said in John's gospel, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." And what an amazing thing our God has done in bringing the Holy of Holies into our town and to everywhere where the gospel's preached and the sacraments are administered according to Christ's command, where you're sitting holy. Who he's made you in your baptism by the forgiveness of sins, holy. We pray that all believers, and all those who haven't heard would literally hit their brakes for this. It's life-changing. When our confidence is found where it belongs in the object of our faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I can guarantee you, if you start digging around for that confidence inside yourself, in your life, in your relationships with other people, in your marriages, in any of those areas, if the confidence starts coming from here, there's just worse than some brake sounds. There's a train wreck about to happen. Find the confidence where it actually exists, in the promises of a loving God who forgives our sins and loves us enough to die for us on the cross and rise again to be our confidence, so that we get to leave here this morning having received, get this, received his own very life into us. Assured that we're safe, our sins are forgiven, and we're loved by God and we're his children, and we're riding along in this life with him. So as his children, we can enjoy the ride. But sometimes, he'll hit the brakes to show you something. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now come to the time in our service where we confess our faith together to the words of the Nicene Creed. We invite the congregation to please stand if you're able as we confess our faith together this morning. We're on page 8. I believe in one God, the Father
Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance of the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with the glory to judge all the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Amen. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, preserve your church throughout all the world and keep us ready at all times for your Son's glorious return. Lead us to proclaim with zeal his salvation, his forgiveness, his presence, and his gifts, and his coming to the ends of the earth. Lord, in your mercy. Bless all pastors and ministers as they preach pure doctrine of God's saving word, which will never pass away. Give faith to all who hear, that in Christ they may have the peace that passes understanding. Lord, and strengthen your churches and your church members. Lord, each and every one of us in our faith. Lord, in your mercy. We give you thanks, Holy Lord, for the fruits of the earth provided to us by your hand. Supply the needs of all who grow, process, or distribute our food, and move us to share these bountiful gifts with our neighbors in their time of need. Lord, in your mercy. Uphold all in authority, especially the president and the president-elect, the Congress of these United States, the governor and legislature of this state, and all judges and those retaining office or newly elected. graciously enable them to lead according to your will and for our benefit. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, the blood of Christ gives us confidence to enter the holy places and draw near to you with true hearts and the full assurance of faith. Behold your servants who are in difficult and trying times, those who are in prison, or those who are sick or have any need at all. Lord, we name before you at the altar this morning Adam and Andrea, Zach Reeves, Carissa Wright, John Johnson, Katie and Eric Philly, Connie Poole, Rob Miller, Cy and Nicole Cavaletto, Jaden, Joyce Austin, Frank Rendone, Jasmine Cody, Anna, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Kenny Rodman, Donna Erke, Richard Lynch, Janice Ross, Betty Paulson, Lori Hauser, Jim and Linda Holman, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jerry, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, grant them comfort according to your gracious will. Lord, in your mercy. Author and giver of all good, your Son gives us his very body and blood with which he purchased the world's redemption at the cross. Prepare our hearts and our minds to welcome him with thanksgiving, the sign and seal of this new and eternal covenant, that in the forgiveness of sins we may look forward to the day of his return. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We come to the time in our service for our tithes and offerings, a chance for us to give back unto the Lord a portion of those things that he's blessed us with. For our offering time this morning, as the gifts are collected and presented, we sing on the next page there on page 10, hymn 655, which is printed for you in the bulletin, "Lord, keep us steadfast in your word." Let's sing.
Thank you.
you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning in. Wish you the Lord's blessings this morning. If you're gathered with us in the sanctuary, we invite you to turn over there to page 10, and please stand if you're able for our service of the Holy Sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and with archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord, of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa.